Hello and welcome to All In IT Radio. Join us as we talk about everything related to information technology and some other random stuff as well. Help us as we try to find how IT relates to each and every one of us and what the story headlines really mean. This is episode 0004 of the All In IT Radio Podcast, and you are very welcome back. If you listened to us before, if you're new here, well, this will be the ride of your life. My name is Kenneth.
And you have me here, and I'm Henrik.
And we have someone else here today.
We have a newbie.
Well, hello, sirs. My name is Robin.
Hello, Robin.
Hello, Robin.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
So you'll be with us this show, and you should feel most welcome.
Oh, thank you, sir.
So what will we talk about today?
First, we will wrap up a little bit of feedback from the last episode, I believe.
And I have quite an interesting little surprise regarding another podcast, but we'll get to that later.
And I also believe we will talk a bit about tablets and... Well, if you talk about tablets, you can't resist to talk about iPads. And if we talk about iPads, we might talk a bit about Apple.
And when we talk about Apple, a lot of feelings get set into motion. So it might get a bit heated in the discussion. Are there anything else we will cover today? Do you know?
Well, I don't know anything we have on schedule. But... tragically, I have to leave you guys for a bit now.
All right.
And I will come back to you later.
Well, see you then.
You will leave me with a newbie?
Yeah, you will take care of him. I have some other things to do for a few minutes, so, well, let's get to it.
I will make your life horrible, Kenneth.
I believe you. No, I will school him well, and I'll put him through the test of the AIIT Radio Podcast show. He will get a few questions, I believe, to start it all off. So, let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Let's go.
Yay.
Here we go. So, what everyone is wondering now, that is, who is this Robin character? I guess it's the place to introduce you, to talk about who you are and what you do and why you... do it, or are it, whatever. Yes. Who are you, man?
Well, my name is Robin, and...
We got that, thank
you. Yeah, thank you. And what should I say? I like to talk about technical things and IT in general. It's nothing I'm good at, but I like it anyway. I have a lot of opinions anyway.
Is it your profession?
Oh, absolutely not.
All right.
I work with... what do you call it? Chemical industrial things.
All right.
I don't think I should go into it that much because many people don't understand what I'm talking about. So
don't understand and don't care.
Exactly. Maybe more don't care.
But you are interested in IT and in technology. What kind of interest? What parts of the IT industry is really your cup of tea?
Well, everything from computers to mobile phones to whatever news really that comes up on the agenda, the big companies, and yeah, I have a lot of opinions, but it's not my profession. Okay,
so. You mention computers.
Yes.
What kind of an interest do you have in computers? Is it the operating system? Is it programs? Or is it hardware? Do you like to trim and boost your computer to senseless speeds? Do you like to overclock your computer? What is your interest with computers?
Well, you can maybe call me a casual computer consumer. Don't like to trim my computer in that way, clock the computer and so on. But I really like to choose my hardware and choose my software as well. Yes, that's probably how you should describe me.
All right. Well, what kind of computers do you have?
I have a what do you call it? Yes, do it yourself a computer maybe. I have an AMD processor with 3.4 gigahertz quad core processor. I really like AMD. I'm not that kind of I'm not an Intel fan like you.
Oh, come on. No need to get nasty.
No.
I wouldn't never describe myself as an Intel fan. An Intel fan is one of those fans that come pre-bundled with your processor. No, but you are correct. I prefer to buy Intel processors, but you know why, of course.
Yes, I know why. And I understand even more why you like to buy NVIDIA products, because that's good for your operating system.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Easier to find free drivers for the NVIDIA graphic cards.
Yes.
Or Intel graphic cards. I mean, I don't really actually need that high a graphics standard in my computers. But the fact is, Intel makes the best processors. AMD, not so much.
For the moment, yes. I can agree with you. But still, the Intel processors are not that, what do you call it, money-friendly. Or you got more out of your money if you buy an AMD processor. I believe that.
And the
anyway.
Fact is, AMD will never catch up technically to Intel again.
That we will see. I you cannot be sure about that.
I mean, come on. AMD's market share is just going downhill. They haven't had a hit in many years. Of course, as you say, their products, they're a bit cheaper. So those who are a bit cheap, they get AMD. And you can actually compare it with, well, last year's line of Intel processors. But, I mean, who really wants to be a whole year behind on processor speed?
Well, I don't agree with you that, but sure, they are a bit behind for the moment. But just wait.
Do you have anything to base that opinion of yours?
Not really, but I do think that they will come out with their next generation processors and so on in the near future. They are very good at produce graphic cards anyway.
Well, they don't produce graphic cards, it's whatever. What was that company that I bought?
ATI.
Right, ATI.
You just pretend you don't know.
That little company who also made graphic cards just like NVIDIA, and ATI was a bit behind, lagging behind NVIDIA, and AMD is lagging a lot behind Intel, so the two losers got together and have produced exactly nothing.
I don't agree with you there, because ATI are not behind NVIDIA. I believe that anyway. Sure, they are better than in Linux operating systems and so on, but they are very good if you use Windows, as I do, because I don't. Yeah, Linux and Kubuntu and Ubuntu are they are good systems, but it's horrible when you want to play on your computer.
So you're a gamer then, since you mentioned games, is that correct?
Yes, I like to play. I don't play a lot, but I do enjoy playing.
What kind of games?
Especially strategy games and the Settlers
like
series.
Civilization?
Yes, Civilization and the Settlers series are very near my heart, you can say. I have every game that has ever been released.
All right, that's impressive. And is it only on the computer you game, or do you have any game consoles and such?
Yes, I have game consoles, but I do really like to play on the computer because my biggest interest lies in those games that is it's much better to play on the computer, strategy games and games like that. It's very hard to play on consoles. But sure, I have a Nintendo Wii and my old Sega Dreamcast that I enjoy a lot.
So you're a Nintendo fanboy then?
Oh no, absolutely not. But it was the best thing, I believe, because if I play on a console. I want to play with other people. I rarely play it all by myself. So and the Wii console, I really like to play with other people, and the Wii products are very good at it.
So you're a party gamer.
Yes, you can call me that, especially at the console. But on my computer, I always play alone.
That's nice. Well, okay, so you mentioned you're a gamer and you're an AMD fanboy. but what operating systems do you run? I guess you're not running Linux then.
No, I don't run Linux. For the moment, I run Windows 7. It's the best Windows operating system I have ever used, I think.
It's the best Windows operating system anyone has ever used.
Yeah. In many years, I have not been happy with Microsoft, but for the moment anyway, they have done a pretty good job.
But considering what the different operating systems from Microsoft has been, I mean, if you compare it to Vista or Windows Millennium even,
Well,
those were crap.
Yes, they were. But I still want to use the Windows operating system as long as the games works, because I have tried Linux and it's not my cup of tea, because I don't like to sit there and try for hours and hours to get the games to work, and every time I get an update on my game I have the same problem all over again. Very irritating.
But that's the fun thing about Linux, to tinker and tweak all the little things.
Yeah,
but I get your point anyway. Of course, if you have a certain application, a game or a program, you really want that to work and you don't want that to get broken over and over again.
Yes, I agree with you. And fine, I have nothing else against Linux than just that, because I think it's a good system, but because of this, I don't use Linux.
So what else did you mention? Yes, all right. You mentioned mobile phones.
Yes.
So you're a great Nokia fan then, living in Sweden?
Oh, no, absolutely not. But that's mostly because of the Symbian operating system, and I have never really caught on that system. I have
you're
never
a Symbian
felt at
hater.
Home. No, not really, but it's not for me anyway.
All right.
I like Android for the moment anyway. I think that it suits my needs, if you understand
okay.
What I mean.
So what do you do with your mobile phone which makes you choose Android as an operating system for it? What is it that Android does so well which fits your needs? That's the question.
I like that it's open source somewhat anyway, and I like the Android Marketplace, that it's a lot of applications you can download and use.
What did you mean when you said that Android is somewhat open?
What I've heard anyway, it's that all of the manufacturers of the phones, they can use the Android system, but you cannot customize it as you want. You have some freedom, but not that much freedom.
Okay, well, I've heard a few stories as well, and it's been up in the news that Android is indeed running a Linux kernel, of course, but all the Java stuff on top, well, it's not quite as open as the free software movement would like.
No, that's
and the latest version of, well, one of the Android versions wasn't released at all. And Google said, well, we'll release it when it's done. It's not done yet. Still, it existed on phones, but they didn't release the source code. And there's been some boo-ha about that.
Yes. And of course, it's a lot of things I want to... I don't like with the Android system. And maybe in the future I will try something else. So maybe Windows 7, if it's... because now it will come in Swedish, and that's a positive thing. And I don't really need the open source things, as long as it works and I'm happy with the design and the operating system. It's good enough for me.
So you're seriously considering getting a Windows 7 phone?
Yes, I do.
Huh, all right. What I've heard, the interface is quite good, but the operating system, well, they release quite a lot of updates and they are late with their updates. That's what I've heard in the news anyway. But of course, give them a year. Perhaps it will be ready for prime time. I don't know.
Yes, that's what I mean. I think we need to give them some time. But I really think that it can be very good. I like the Windows experience at the computer, so why not in the cell phone?
All right, interesting. So, do you have any other interests in the IT realm?
Well, not particularly.
What kind of news do you follow?
That is a very good question. I follow most news, most IT news. I am interested in a lot of things, like all from operating systems to PayPal and so on. It's very wide interest I have, but and broadband and stuff like that.
And do you read this in magazines or on the internet somewhere?
Yes, I am often on the IDG website.
And that's a large Swedish news provider, IDG.se.
Yes, it's like TechCrunch or something like that, right?
Comparable.
Yes. And I also listen to a lot of podcasts, so I am keeping myself updated that way. You learned me that, so...
A podcast, brother.
I'm forever grateful.
Yes, I'm quite satisfied with that. And, well, you've returned the favor. You actually told me about a few of the podcasts I follow, so you really returned that favor.
Yeah, I'm a big sci-fi fan as well, but not as big as you are, but still.
So, anything else you would like to say about yourself before we wrap this little section up?
No, I think it's quite enough.
Okay, well, thank you and welcome to the All in IT radio hosting
thingy.
Circle of friends thing.
Thank you.
Well, whatever. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great. So, next thing on the agenda is some feedback and various things. I don't know. It's kind of a segment where we put a few things that we don't really know what to put in, what kind of segment to put them in otherwise. So we all bundle them together right here and now. A couple of shows ago, me and Henrik, we talked about Tor, the onion router. And we had some feedback from Jonathan, who actually researched it first. And as you know, research isn't a thing that we do a lot of here on All in IT Radio. He researched it and he pointed out that Tor does only support TCP connections. That means that you can't run UDP through Tor. And that also means that the SIP protocol and all kind of internet telephony doesn't work through Tor. So Tor is strictly for viewing the web pages, and SSH and mail communication. Have you used Tor, Robin?
It's very rainy today. I have no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right.
No, the Tor. You talked about it for the last episode, but I have never used it, so I cannot say.
Well, another thing that Jonathan pointed out was that there are some risks using Tor, and that is you can't really trust the endpoints. To quickly recapitulate what that segment was about, Tor actually randomizes your connection. So you are in one end with your computer, and you send your request for a web page to the Tor network, and it bounces all around to different Tor nodes. And finally, it exits on the interwebs somewhere, and no one knows that it was you who sent that request. And the web server returns that request to that node, and it travels back to you. So when you surf the web through Tor, it gets a bit slow, but you are somewhat anonymized.
Okay.
And he mentioned that if you run a Tor exit node, you can actually sniff the traffic. That is, if you are running the node which other people access the internet through, you can try to crack the SSL encryptions and you can try to read whatever passes through. And that is nothing new. I mean, that's true for all internet communication. Everything is sniffable. You can always check it out. So, well, the Tor layer doesn't really make you invulnerable to these kind of things, but it does make it harder to track you. So, of course, you should always take many precautions if you're trying to go under the radar. And you have to encrypt your email and your communication and so on, but he wanted to mention that specifically, since he is a bit paranoid.
But the program does what it's supposed to do, anyway.
Oh, sure. This is how it is designed to work, so if someone runs a node and wants to sniff everything, they are free to do it.
Yes.
That's a part of it.
Mm.
So it's not a secure solution in that way. Okay, and another thing that I would like to mention is, and this was episode 0003, I believe, I talked about my Psion computer. You mentioned Symbian before.
Yes.
And this old Psion, it ran Symbian, or Epoch, as the operating system was called then. And I said that it was as old as the original Nintendo Game Boy. Afterwards, I had to check this out if I was at all close to the truth, and turns out I was wrong by a decade.
That's a long time.
That's quite a margin of error, indeed. Still, the Nintendo Game Boy original, it came out 10 years before the Psion Computer 5MX that I used. I just wanted to set the record straight. And another thing I would like to mention, do you know what the Ubuntu UK podcast is?
I think you have mentioned it to me, but I have never listened to it.
Since you are not a Linux user, I guess Ubuntu isn't that interesting to you.
Well, it's interesting. I read about it at the IDG webpage sometimes if it's big news, but not the small updates or something like that.
Well, the thing is, the Ubuntu UK podcast, and perhaps we should take the time to explain this. Do you know what a loco team is?
No, I don't think so.
The thing is this. I mean, Ubuntu is an operating system, and they have to translate this operating system so it will be available in Swedish and in Taiwanese and in German and in different kind of languages. And this is managed by a loco team.
Okay.
Localization team. I don't know if it's short for localization.
Probably.
That's what they do anyway. Sure, they translate and they make sure that Ubuntu has the correct time, the correct currency, and such. And in England, there is a loco team, which I guess doesn't have to worry that much about translation since they speak English. But still, they do a lot of other things. They arrange release parties and, well, stuff like that.
They have to do something with their spare time when the other people translate.
Exactly. So that is part of it. They are the local team who represents Ubuntu. They are somewhat tied to Canonical. They don't work for Canonical, which is the company that develops Ubuntu. But, well, somehow they are connected. I don't know. Don't care. One of the things they do is they do a podcast. The Ubuntu UK podcast. And last episode, season 4, episode 6, Look for the Truth. In that episode, they set up a competition. Because the latest version of Ubuntu, do you know what that was called?
Wow, that's a good question. No, I don't think so.
Natty Narwhal.
Okay. That's a strange name.
You know what a narwhal is?
Yes, I believe so.
It's like a unicorn dolphin or something like that.
It's not every day I hear that word, but I've heard it before. So,
so that was the last Ubuntu release, 11.04.
Okay.
And they managed to get some swag, some goodies, a few t-shirts and some other things. And they held a competition for these things. And they, well, they did this freestyling. They made it up as they went along on the podcast episode. And what they ended up doing was a request for a sound file. Do you know who Linus Torvalds is?
Well, he's the founder of Linux, isn't he?
Exactly. He made the first Linux kernel, and he still makes the Linux kernel. So he is the father of Linux, and he is from Finland. Nowadays he lives in USA.
That's why you pronounce Linux as you do, I believe.
Precisely. So let's take it back 6 or 8 years. When you set up Linux on your machine back then, you had to configure your sound card and you had to hope that it worked. And when you finally got the drivers and everything and you rigged it up so it worked, you were met by the voice of Linus as he said, "My name is Linus Torvalds and I pronounce Linux as Linux."
Wow.
So that was the first thing everyone who configured their sound card in Linux heard, more or less.
Poor people.
Nah, it was quite fun, actually, but still. So what they wanted in the Ubuntu UK podcast, and I am actually going somewhere with this, it's not just trivia, I just tried to fill out the platform so we are all on the same page here. So what they did was they wanted people to send in a sound file mimicking Linus, but instead of Linux, they would say the name of the next Ubuntu release, the 11.10.
Right.
And that is called Oneric Ocelot.
Okay.
And the thing is, Oneric is a word that not that many people use. And the ocelot is an animal that not that many people know. So there has been some kerfuffle in the Ubuntu world regarding this name.
I can imagine. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, an ocelot is, I don't know, some kind of panther or jaguar or something like that, cat-like animal. And the word oneric means dreamlike or dreamy or dreaming or something like that.
Okay.
So, well, I don't know, strange set of words to use, but still, that's the thing. All the releases of Ubuntu gets these. First letter is the same. So we have Natty Narwhal, we have Karmic Koala, we have Oneric Ocelot.
But still, they don't want people to remember the name, obviously.
Well, the name isn't that important.
Maybe not. But all other operating system manufacturers, they try anyway to use names people can remember.
But honestly, how many people who use Windows know that it's Windows 7 rather than just Windows? And likewise, how many people use a Mac and know that they are using, what are they called, Snow Leopard?
Or Lion.
Lion, yes. Or whatever. Do they actually know that? Or do they just know that I'm using a Mac, I'm using a Windows computer? I mean, all people, do they know what version of the operating system they are using?
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just me and other people that are interested in these kind of things that do know. I'm not sure.
I think you have to have some kind of interest in the computers.
Yes.
To
I do not think that care. My parents know what kind of... What version of Windows they have on their computer.
Might be.
I don't think they know.
Oh, and I believe we have Henrik with us again.
Sort of.
Welcome, sir.
Indeed.
So, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again. I was just talking about the Ubuntu UK podcast competition.
Yeah.
And we had gotten as far as... We went on a tangent regarding the Ubuntu names.
Ah, right, yeah.
Anyway, what they wanted us to do, all those people who wanted to be a part of this competition, was to send in a sound file with the words, "Hello, my name is," and "I pronounce Oneric Ocelot as Oneric Ocelot." That was about it. So I couldn't help myself, of course, I recorded something, and I said Oneric Ocelot in Swedish, which would be Drömlik Ocelot, and sent it in. This was met by, well, appreciation would be the word. They liked it. So I actually won the competition.
You did? Wow.
Woo!
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was quite happy. I was cleaning out my bathroom when I listened to the latest episode of Ubuntu UK podcast. And I was afraid that they wouldn't even play my contribution. But finally I heard my own voice on their podcast and it felt quite good. I like that. and I had to send them an email with my address and stuff, so the things should be on their way to Sweden.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool. And, well, Henrik, I haven't really talked with you about this, but perhaps we should have our own competition?
Maybe.
when I get the stuff, perhaps we should send it to someone in our audience.
Mm.
Oh, well, we'll see when it gets here.
Yeah?
Sure. It would be nice. Still, I don't have any idea what kind of competition we would hold. Oh, well, we'll think of something. So, I'm quite pleased with that. Do you have anything to add, Henrik, regarding our latest shows? Anything you want to rectify or mention?
No, I can't really think about Dennis. Have we lived any loose end somewhere? Or is everything wrapped up?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. Well, you said some things last episode, in the last show, which I immediately thought I really wanted to rebunk, but I think we'll get to that in the future.
All right.
We can leave that for now. I just want you to know that on those things, which I'm not going to mention, you were completely wrong. All right?
Mm-hmm.
As usual.
What is this about then?
I think we will leave that for a later hour.
Hmm. So what have you been talking about, if I might ask?
Right. What have we been talking about? In your absence, we have introduced Robin. We have talked about a bit about who he is, what his relationship with IT is. What else?
What his mama's named?
AMD versus Intel.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some operating systems.
Mobile phones.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
AMD and Intel, you say. What about it? Isn't it obvious what you choose?
No.
Yeah, sure, it's obvious. I mean, AMD is so far behind and Intel is where the good thing is at. So we agreed that if you're a cheapskate and if you don't have that much
no.
money, you might buy an AMD, but there's no reason otherwise.
But are AMD's things so much cheaper?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They are a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are not as good.
Well, if you compare the price range from the Intel products at the same price, you got more out of it if you buy AMD. That's all I'm going to say. Of course, I agree with you that Intel, for the moment, is far ahead of AMD in Prestanda. But
And let me just add there, when you say for the moment, you actually mean the last 3 years and at least the coming 2 years when you see what they are going to release. And what comes after that, no one knows. And if AMD is still alive, then of course they could perhaps make a comeback, but it's not that likely.
I'm just sitting here smiling and thinking about what a can of worms I've opened.
Well, let's just say we can look at the future, and you and I have no idea, and probably not you either.
We can settle down with saying that whether you choose AMD or Intel, it's not really that big fuss, as long as you choose Intel. So, move on.
Sounds reasonable, actually. I like that.
But still, all joking aside, I really think that the future competition will be between Intel and ARM rather than between Intel and AMD. But the future will tell.
All right, did we mention anything else? We talked about game consoles briefly.
All right, okay.
Well, the kind of games Robin plays.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want any more details on that, you'll have to listen to the episode.
I guess I have.
So let's move on.
Let's roll.
We had a news article a couple of weeks ago, I believe,
mm-hmm.
about a school in Sweden, in Uppsala, where all the students this coming semester will get an iPad.
Ooh.
Poor people.
The school actually wants to get rid of all traditional books that are used and go completely digital with a tablet from Apple.
What kind of school is it? Is it a secondary, high school, university?
Very good question.
Because I'm just thinking that what they are going to use it for can differ quite a bit, depending on what kind of school it is.
It doesn't actually say in the article. They call it Grafiskt Utbildningscenter. That's Graphical Educational Center.
Sounds
and it sounds like it's secondary education yes. of some sort.
Probably.
Yeah. A bit specialized.
I'd say high school.
Yes.
And they have talked about the difference. They compare the price for some sort of mini laptop, a netbook or something like that, and the iPad. And regarding to price and the ease of use and the potential for learning, the iPad was the best choice.
Okay.
The CEO said.
How?
How do you mean how?
I think about that. It's a graphic education center, he says. Maybe if you're going to write things or use Word or something like that, the iPad are terrible. It's not a working machine.
But that might be the case, because if you look at it, well, I'm not really sure how much is prejudice regarding Apple's products. As far as I believe, for myself at least, when I took a course in photography, I used Mac Pro for editing in my photos. And if you use graphical programs, Photoshop and Adobe Suite and stuff like that, as you probably do at a graphical institute, I would say, at least if you on the computer side use Macs, from the start, then I believe the most natural thing to get to the students when they are on the go would be iPads, because it's easier to integrate and connections between the computer and the tablet and so on. Most students, I believe, at least nowadays, use iPhone. So if you take that in mind, I would say, yeah, fine, the iPad would be the best solution in that environment. Maybe you should rebuild the whole environment to get it better, but that might be cheaper. That would be cost quite a lot, and it would be take some time.
So what you're saying is that they probably have graphical workstations where they do most of the work.
Their information technology, their infrastructure are probably already based around Apple's products in some ways.
Yeah, okay.
It's interesting. They mentioned in the article that they are already working electronically with most of their educational system. They use presentations. The kids, they do their tests. They send in their assignments electronically. And they actually don't use paper that much anymore.
Mm.
So there aren't really any downside to using an iPad other than they comment the lack of a keyboard, but there will be some form of separate keyboards if you actually need that and you can't use the on-screen keyboard that the iPad has.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And of course, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, you can't get the Adobe Photoshop suite, the Creative Suite, on an iPad.
Not on an iPad, no.
No.
On Mac you can, but yeah. But I believe Adobe started working on some lighter versions of these programs.
Like an app or something like that?
Yeah, as far as I believe it, I've read about it, I think.
Mm.
But yeah, once again, if they already use Apple products from the start, I see where they are going when they say that iPad is ideal for their situation. If I take another example from where I live, they decided to buy for the students from class 6 to 9, I believe. They choose to buy MacBooks for the students. And from the beginning, for 5-10 years, they have been using Windows on their computers in the school environment and on the servers and on printers and so on and on. So I don't really see why they choose to get MacBooks for those students.
No, I can see that.
But this might be another case. That's what I'm saying. I'm not pro Apple or pro iPad a bit, not at all, but it might be a better solution for them at least.
Yeah.
But Apple products are so easy to use and they look so good. Don't you agree, Robin?
Well, the design, I really like the design, but I don't like the company.
Don't you people read the newspaper?
No.
Have you seen the latest ads?
What do you mean?
Apple iPhone 4, now in white.
Wow.
That's
ridiculous.
They have after 1 year at last released the phone as a white.
Yeah. And then they raises the prices again. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year old iPhone 4 costs more than the most advanced phone out there. It's ridiculous. I cannot imagine why people buy those things.
I've been Googling while you were talking, and I found that there are actually an Adobe Photoshop Express version available for the Apple iOS.
Mm-hmm.
So the Photoshop Express is actually available as an app in the Apple App Store.
Yeah.
And as of March 16th, it was still free, as I can gather from this.
But how good is it? Do you have any information about that?
No, they don't mention how good it is. And Adobe Photoshop Express has always been a scaled-down version. It didn't have that much support for layers and stuff like that. Just the basic support. And of course, it's not that strange actually, since you have to use it with the touch interface. It's not a mouse as the Photoshop experience is supposed to be. So it has to be something else, hasn't it?
It's really extraordinary how many people who use Mac computers and are if you think about graphic designers and use Adobe's programs. If you think a moment about the relations between Apple and Adobe,
yeah,
which aren't that good.
Not true. But why haven't they been good? What were they fighting about? Do you want to recap that a bit?
Right now, I don't really remember what started it, but...
The Flash report, right?
Yeah, Apple scrapped that, as far as I know, for their mobile devices.
Yes.
But what caused all this? I don't really remember.
No, that was it. That was the thing.
What was the Flash report the thing?
Exactly, that was the thing.
Okay.
I mean, Adobe and Apple have been great friends throughout the years, but then Steve Jobs... He took the stage and he said that Adobe Flash is...
Obsolete.
Pile of crap, more or less. Yeah, obsolete is the word. The way ahead, the future, that's HTML5. And, well, sure, he's correct in that. So they wouldn't allow Flash on their devices because it's slow and it's buggy. And Adobe, of course, didn't like that.
True.
Oh, of course not.
And once again, we see the side from Apple that we all know. They try to get their little children to obey by forbidding them to use this and that.
Yes, it's a very closed box. But many people obviously like to live in it.
That's strange, isn't it?
Yes, really.
But if we return to the tablet question, have any of you people used tablets?
Good question. No, I have not. I haven't actually laid my hands on a tablet ever. I've not even seen a tablet in real life. And I... Just want to say, I don't understand, well, I sort of understand the use case for it, but I think it's such a narrow use case that I don't have that need. What about you, Robin?
Well, I agree with you, Kenneth, but I have actually put my fingers on one, the Galaxy Tab. A girl at my work owns one, and for a few minutes I have tried it.
How was that?
It's an Android experience. It's nothing more, nothing less. If you have an Android phone, it's the same. It's only a bigger screen, and I believe it's the same with the iPad, because it's the same operating system. But I don't get it, because if you have a smartphone with an okay display, that's all you need. I think that in a way, and then the next step is in a computer. So I don't really see any use for this thing.
This form factor.
Yes.
But that was a bit like what we talked about in the last show, Henrik.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned that you actually sometimes want not a computer, that's not a word. You want a device that lets you interface with the internet directly, and you don't want all the fluff around it. You just want to access web pages, you want to search on IMDb, you want to Google something fast, and we mentioned that. Well, that and a little bit more was the Google Chromebook.
Yeah.
And the tablets are playing in sort of the same area. If you want something on your coffee table, you want something to have in your lap when you're watching TV, so you can check out on IMDb what that actor you just saw is called and what else you have seen him in.
Yeah.
Well, then the tablet is great, but do you really want to pay that huge amount of money for something that you will casually use sometimes?
Yeah.
You two were not interested in this Chromebook, am I right?
Well, I'm all for it.
You are.
I'm very eager to at least test one, maybe buy one.
Exactly as me then.
Not that I will use it in my everyday laptop user experience, but I at least find it as a very different user experience, at least when it comes to laptops. Maybe not some big revolution, maybe it's not that something that's going to change the user experience of a laptop, but it's a fork of it, I would say. So at least I'm very eager to test one and see what it is, because I think it is a very good idea. And if they do it right, it might be a very great thing. And if they do it a bit wrong and people don't buy it, then I think it will be a big flop.
It is interesting, and I'm not really the target audience for this device, but as you say, Henrik, I would really like to put my hands on one and try it out. Sure, if the price is right, why not? It's always good to have a spare computer around, if you understand what I mean.
Mm.
But still, I need to be able to install something on it. On the other hand, I noticed in the news in the last week, and actually Jonathan, as I mentioned before, he tipped me about it as well, a rather clever guy, he managed to run Linux in a virtual JavaScript machine. That is, he booted Linux in the web browser, and that would be able to be run at the Google Chromebook. So from that, you would perhaps be able to run SSH and all those kind of things that I need in my computer experience,
yeah,
even though you aren't able to install something else. But of course, probably you can go on to the Google Chrome Web Store, as it's called, the Chrome Web Store, and download an SSH app to your Google Chromebook. So probably not a problem, but not really my thing, but I would like to try it.
Mm.
What about you, Robin? Is it something for you?
Yes, I believe so, because I want something to browse the internet or do some small work on that I don't have to use my regular computer for.
But you're a netbook guy, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I love my netbook, but now it's a little bit slow. I have used it so much.
What is it? What kind of a netbook is it?
An Acer One, I believe.
Don't you actually get all you need from your mobile phone?
Yes, I do. But sometimes I do like to boot up this netbook and do some work on it, some light work, and that's not something my phone is very good at, like write things, that kind of stuff.
I just googled on the Chrome Web Store and I immediately found a Java SSH client that you are able to install, so, well, I'm looking forward to the Google Chromebook. Henrik, you were about to say?
Yeah, I think that might be the case with the tablet also. Another need, like a window to the web, more or less. And if you look at it, a tablet is far bigger than a cell phone, so it might be a bit clumsy to get around with as a cell phone. But if you have it instead of your laptop, in, well, if you're going somewhere and you might have to do something on the internet, you might like to watch some videos, but you can't watch it on your phone because it's too small, and you don't want to bring your big laptop because it's too clumsy and heavy. This might be a middle way of it that might work out pretty well. I tried out an iPad for a few weeks ago. A friend of mine owns one. And, well, I couldn't find...
Was that the iPad 2 or the original iPad?
Original iPad. So he bought it last autumn. And, well, at first I couldn't find myself around it. Obviously, it's iOS. But I think it's a really different experience, at least from a smartphone. I have a smartphone. I have a Nokia N900, and I love it to bits. But the whole tablet experience, when you get it far much bigger, the user experience really changed a lot, I must say.
That's why I use netbooks, because the it's the same as the iPad or Galaxy Tab, but it has a almost full-size keyboard, almost.
So, yeah, I would say the difference is the keyboard, because as far as I know, the specs are more or less the same for a tablet and a netbook. A netbook can be a bit better in performance, but, well, a netbook and or a tablet doesn't get up in same standards as a regular laptop, or not even close to a standard desktop computer.
I might be going out on a limb here,
mm-hmm,
but I would actually want to say that the market for tablets are perhaps 4 or 5% of all computer users.
Yeah.
With that price and with what you can do with it, it should be that interesting for most of all computer users.
No.
It should be such a niche product that it shouldn't be economically viable to produce it, actually.
Maybe 4 or 5% in the United States, but not 4 or 5% in Sweden. I believe that, anyway.
Probably.
Or you
yes.
might be right. I might be actually exaggerating.
Mm.
And still, what I absolutely don't think is that it is the right thing for students.
No.
No.
As their main work device, an iPad doesn't fit the bill. It's a window to the internet, as you put it, Henrik.
Yeah.
And that is not what a student need. Of course, a lot of the schoolwork you do today is done on the web, and you need the web, but that's not the only thing.
No.
At least not if you attend to a graphical institute. You don't just surf the web all the time. You actually do some really memory-craving work on your laptop. And
precisely.
Maybe they should get the kids a MacBook instead. That might be even better, because a MacBook isn't that much bigger or heavier than an iPad 2, as far as I know.
But the iPad 2 is thin.
It's pretty obvious that this product are manufactured, this hype is manufactured by Apple. And so they tell us that you need this, but it's a manufactured need, I believe.
Well, I'm not completely agreeing with you there.
Okay.
Well, of course, the marketing. As Apple market their products, I can from time to time bash my head against my keyboard because...
You're not the only one.
Yeah, as you say, they sort of create a need among the customers, among people who buy the products. But the tablet in its form, in what it is, I would say it's not a constructed or made up need. Because obviously, tablets has been around for a couple of years in various shapes and forms, but maybe some companies, and for example Apple, took it to another level, and they managed to get it to be this item that all the customers must have if they market it in a good way, if they make it attractive to their customers. That's the case with most of their products, and that's the case with many companies' products. They try, obviously, to make a product better, faster, lighter, but in the end they want to sell it to get money. And Apple is very good at selling their products so far.
Yeah, there's no comparison in the world. They have the most amazing market people, I believe. No one can sell such worthless products to so many people as Apple do.
I read an article a few days ago, I believe on IDG as well, where they made a comparison between people who buy...
Religious people.
People who buy Apple products on a regular basis and use Apple products on a regular basis. They made a comparison between them and people who are religious, because they experience the same feelings as religious people do. Well, the comparison with fanatic Christians and when a new product is released or when a new app store is opened somewhere. The feelings that the customers and the people who work at the app stores are getting is the same. And I found it a bit funny to read that, because that's what I've been thinking the last 2-3 years about the extreme cases of people who use Apple products.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Kenneth, where did you go?
Oh, sorry. I just fired up the Chromium browser and went into the Chrome web store and downloaded Angry Birds.
What?
Oh no.
And I'm playing Angry Birds for the first time ever. I've never played it before.
Doing?
It was free in the Google Chrome web
no.
store. I'm sorry. Well, sorry.
Oh,
oh man. There are birds here. They're screaming. I don't know. I haven't played this before. And the green pigs. And I just got 500 points.
Hit the pigs.
I have to hit the pigs. Yeah, I got that much, thank you. Oh man, that's... And I don't understand why the birds are so heavy. Oh, whatever. Sorry, I'm turning that off right now. Not getting hooked to that thing.
You're very good at derailing things.
I am?
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry, right. We were talking about what exactly?
I don't know
iPads.
Anymore.
Right, and the Mac, and the Apple...
culture.
Factory... Yeah, oh right.
Fanatism.
Good word. Well, Apple manufacture things that they put a lot of thought into. And I wouldn't say that Apple make worthless products. They look good. The design is great. Of course.
Oh yes.
We all agree on that one. Apple has always been in the forefront when it comes to design. But the hardware... Well, there was one time when a computer from Apple was the best thing you could get if you were working with graphical design or sound engineering or anything that required a lot from your computer. Today, almost all the MacBooks and such are really, really slow. They don't have any good graphic cards. They're good looking, but they're old.
Especially the graphic cards.
Yeah.
It might be a bit of a part of the design, since Apple actually controls everything from the hardware to the software, and they really want their software to be an easy solution and something that people can use without having to have that much knowledge about computers.
Yeah.
So they try to perfect their operating system, and before they release it, then they have a bit older hardware to work with. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's my theory.
As far as I know, yes. From time to time, I go to the online Mac store and put together a laptop or a desktop computer. And the case is, most of the time, they manage to get a lot of money for a lot of old hardware. It's not bad, but in comparison to what you can get from an ordinary PC stacked up, or if you buy loose items and put it together yourself, I can't see how on earth they can get all these heaps of money for that hardware. Because they always say that we try to get all the hardware to function together as good as possible, and that's why they take so much money for it. But when the hardware isn't that good, or isn't that new, or isn't that fast, I really can't see why. Well, if they lower the prices with $400 or $500, if you say for a standard MacBook,
I would say 400 or 500 euros.
Yeah. Well, then it might be worth it. Then maybe even I would try to buy and test a MacBook.
And I also think,
since it's a good design,
I've never tested Macs that much. Well, I've used them, but when the price are this high and when it's this much out of scale, out of range, well, at least I won't come near any Apple products.
And the price does not decrease either.
No.
After half a year. So I think if you're going to buy an Apple product, you really need to know the cycle, the manufacturing cycle, because when maybe an iMac or an MacBook Pro is new, then you get more value for your money. But
yeah.
You should not buy it 9 or 10 months into this period of time, because it does not take much longer before the next version comes out, and then you're screwed.
Exactly. Now they're launching iPhone 4 again in white color,
yeah.
And it's not that far to when iPhone 5 is released.
No.
It's a tad silly what they are really doing.
That is strange.
Well, they are trying to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, and what I'm most sick and tired of is how they, every time they release a new product, they love to go out with a big climatic boom, like, this is the phone, it's new and there's no other phone you can use, or this is the laptop you should use, everything other is crap, and this is the laptop with big L. And they do this all the time. Now, when they have released iPhone 4 and they're going to release iPhone 5, they will probably make all this over again, and people will desperately try to sell their iPhone 4s or get money to buy a new iPhone 5 because the old 4 is nothing to have. Yeah, okay, you have to stay up to date, but they make such a big thing about it that you should have always the latest hardware from them.
But one thing that is good if you buy an Apple product, that is that people are ready to buy your used product for a ridiculous price. So your
the second-hand value is great.
Yes, very great. So
yeah.
That's a good thing anyway.
And still, when they announce a new product and they say that all other products are obsolete, they are including their own.
And that's what is getting me the most. It's redonkulous.
It is. And you heard about the new thing, if I can derail this a bit. It was during this week, I believe, there has been a piece of, it's not a virus, it's malware that is spreading rampantly on Apple computers.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Apple has told everyone all the time through history is that Apple computers, macOS, doesn't get viruses.
Yeah.
And still, of course, you cannot say that. If a user is stupid enough, they will click on every link and they will install everything. And that includes malware if it's targeted to the Mac platform.
Yeah.
And that is what has happened. That isn't that curious or that strange.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Apple has continuously said that this is a completely safe environment. You do not have to worry. You can click on anything. It won't happen to you. And it has happened. And they say that 50% of all support calls to Apple has been regarding this Mac Defender malware. Mm. And what Apple has said to their technicians is, over and over again, do not help people regarding the Mac Defender malware.
That's ridiculous.
Do not acknowledge that it is malware. Do not tell the user how to disable it. It is not our problem. Do not help them.
It's amazing.
I had a conversation a few days ago about this with a friend of mine. You remember the old commercials, Mac versus PC? Hello, I'm a PC. Hello, I'm a Mac.
Yes.
Where they always say that you don't get the viruses and all these cloggy programs on a Mac. Maybe that was the case then, because then, if you look 10 years back, Mac wasn't a big part of the total amount of people who use a computer. Most people used PC, Microsoft, Windows, and as far as I believe, it was first after when they released the iPod that the things started to get bigger for Apple. They started to get a bigger percent of the market. And then, of course, when more and more people are starting to use their products, when more and more people are starting to use their OS, of course, people also starts to program...
Manufacture.
Yeah, manufacture and program viruses and malware for that operating system. It's that simple. If people use it, then it also gets infected because people then write bad code for that environment.
Yes, of course.
But there's more to that. That isn't the whole story. Windows is in itself inherently vulnerable to viruses and malware.
Yeah, obviously.
Because it wasn't that well designed in the first place.
Mm.
And of course, Microsoft, they are getting better at this, finally. But still, it is a platform that hasn't really thought about security in its design. The Linux platform, the Unix platform, that has a strict user system in its base. So if you are a simple user, and of course you never run as an administrator or as a root, as it's called, well then you don't have the power, even if malware or virus takes over your web browser or whatever.
Mm.
You don't have the rights to destroy your computer. Perhaps a virus in that environment could destroy some of your files, but even then it would have to jump through quite a few hoops.
Mm.
So,
but Kenneth, don't you think that because of not many people use Linux, they don't try to make malware or viruses for it because it's
certainly
it's an open code. So I can imagine. I am no expert, but it must be simpler to make malware and viruses to those kind of systems.
Well, that's the thing. What they try to do is make code and make a structure that is safe, regardless if people can see the code or not. But you have a point. Linux isn't that great a target, so it sneaks under the radar in this case. Mac, they base their operating system on the BSD, which is an operating system that could be regarded as a cousin to Linux. And that means that they have quite a safe environment as their base, and they have built their user interface on top of that. Still, there are bugs in every system. Doesn't matter what kind of system it is.
No.
And the greatest bug of all, or the greatest vulnerability of all, that's the user. If the user thinks it's a good idea to install this malware or virus, well, who can stop him? He's the user. Sooner or later, he has to make a choice himself what he's going to install on his computer. Of course, Apple is actively trying to reduce this risk by eliminating the user out of the equation. The user is going to buy the computer, but Apple will decide what kind of programs you can run on your computer with their Apple App Store, which now is available on Macs as well. So they really are trying to eliminate the greatest threat, but they are not there yet.
No.
And I don't know if that's a bad idea or not.
If it suits you, it's a good idea. If you like to be in a closed box and being told what to do, that's very good, I believe.
But if something spreads, if the only way to install programs is through the App Store and some form of application misbehaves, then Apple will be able to terminate that program and save your computer. Isn't that a good thing? I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, of course, if you're a dumb user or a stupid user and don't care about to be locked in or not, of course it's a good idea.
If Big Brother are good, then I don't see the problem.
True.
Last episode we talked about Google, whether Big Brother in that case is good or bad. So far they are showing the good face. Maybe they will show the bad face in the future. Apple has showed their bad face far too many times for that I will use their products. But if you just think about that concept, that the company runs everything and you as a user don't have to care that much about security and all those things. If Big Brother are doing a good job and are good in what they do, maybe that's a good thing. But if you turn paranoid and want your files secure, that's not a good thing for you as a user. If the user wants to be in control.
And if they have the power to remove something that is malicious in its intent, they also have the power to remove something that isn't malicious, that you want, but they personally don't like.
Indeed, and that's the case with Apple. They don't like Flash, ban it. They don't like this and that app that people have developed, ban it. Oh, and by the way, we can develop our own version of this app that we banned and get money off it.
And when they come with a new app, if there are someone else trying to sell... Oh, I hate the word app. Someone else tries to sell the same kind of program, they will get banned. Why? Mm. Well, Apple feels like it. They are the ones who shall gather all the money in the universe, or else you'll get banned.
Mm.
But still, it's like you said last show, Henrik, that Apple is a company. They are here to make money. That's their goal.
Yeah.
So why should we be surprised?
Hmm.
Okay, so a final question perhaps before we leave this Apple rant or whatever we should call this. Will you ever buy an Apple product, Henrik?
Yes, I think so.
All right. Under what circumstances?
At the moment, I don't see any need for an Apple product in my daily life. I have my smartphone, I have my desktop computer, I have my laptop. I don't really need an Apple product that does the thing better. But maybe in the future they will develop something that I might buy for some reason. Or maybe I will buy an old iPhone secondhand from someone, just try it out and see the experience. As always, I'm very interested in different things. I'm interested in trying out different things, but you don't afford to try out everything. Apple has interested me on and off the last years. The first iMac that they released, the old CRT screen, that computer interests me a lot. And if I had owned my own computer back then, I believe maybe it had been an iMac. I don't like Apple and how they are managing things. And for the most of the time, I don't like their products either, because they are most of the time too old or too clumsy. But they still interest me in one way, and sure, maybe I will try out one of their products someday. But at the moment, no.
All right, what about you, Robin?
I agree with you somewhat, Henrik. I do believe that I can consider an Apple product if they come with something new and fresh and that no one else have. But before I even can think about buy some Apple products, they have to change their philosophy, I believe. I have big problems with that part. And if there is some other company that do similar products and with a similar capacity, I will go for that option.
What about you, Kenneth? Have you owned an Apple product in the past?
Well, strictly speaking, I actually own an Apple computer right now. I got it as a gift they were going to throw it away. It's an old computer from, I don't know, it might be 15 years old or something like that. But it runs Prince of Persia. At least something. I don't know where it is at the moment. I haven't used it that much. So, strictly speaking, no, I have never owned a real Apple product. And I can't see myself buying one in the future either. That's primarily because I want to get the maximum bang for my buck. I want to get as much oomph, as much power as possible when I finally spend something. So I always research, I always try to find out exactly what the best option for me is. And Apple just never is. I am not prepared to pay for design, and I definitely am not prepared to pay for their operating system. Mm. It's not bad, but I have an operating system that I prefer, so I don't think that they deserve my money.
It isn't enough with positive sides.
Exactly. And, of course, as we've made it clear, I don't like the way that Apple runs its business either, so that is part of it.
But don't you think that maybe they are going to cut their prices a little bit? Because now when with the iPad, they are not more expensive than anyone else anymore. Or do you think that this is just the iPad?
Well, it's hard to predict, but I don't think that Apple ever will be the cheap alternative. Never.
All right.
Well, that about sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we are ready to wrap this episode up as well.
If you don't have any small news snippets to share with me?
Not really, no.
Because I'm a bit analog this evening. I don't have any internet connection at all. And I feel very lost.
Oh, poor Henrik. So let's end this podcast with the usual information. How people can get in touch with us and tell us that we are blatantly wrong. The easiest way, as always, is to send us an email at... What's the email address, Henrik?
Oh, you were talking to me. The email address is show@aiit.se.
Great. And the Twitter and Identica handle to reach the show and to reach me is at... A-L-L-T-I-N-O-M-I-T, that's Altinomite, which is all in IT, but in Swedish. And you can also, on both Twitter and Identica, use the hashtag or the group name A-I-I-T-R to get in touch with us, to tip us, or to tell us we are right or wrong, or whatever you would like.
And they can reach me, Henrik, easiest on Twitter as well, on my handle at Warpfuss, spelled Just read it.
What's your name, man?
It will be spelled out in the release notes. I can't spell anything tonight.
All right, at Warpfuzz it is.
At Warpfuzz.
And Robin, my man, how does people get in touch with you?
Well, that's not easy, because I don't like Facebook and I don't really appreciate Twitter either. So I have an email address. That's the only way. And it's robin.harming@gmail.com.
All right, there you have it, folks. Give us your feedback, and specifically, please tell us what you thought about us being three people on the podcast. Did it work out or didn't it?
Or should we kick Henrik out of it?
Or should we kick Henrik and keep Robin? Please do tell.
Oh, I think I'm the one who is going to go if someone is.
Or are you quite satisfied with Robin and Henrik keeping the podcast real and blabbering on about all the interesting stuff, and you actually prefer me playing Angry Birds or something else? Then please do tell us. Today's intro music, and as well outro music, was made by Benjamin Dibbert and is called Speedy. It's released under a Creative Commons license by SA 2.0, and it's the Deutsch version. And if you look at that original text of the license, you find that it says that Namensendungen weiteresgabe und gleichen Bedingungen 2.0 Deutschland. And they continue to say, Sie dürfen das Werk besv,
den Inhalt wäre wie weltverfügigen, wäre breiten und öffentlichen zugänglich machen, Abwandlungen und Bearbeitungen des Werkes bzw. Inhaltes anfertigen, das Werk kommerziell zu nutzen. And don't you forget it. I will, as usual, put a link in the show notes to Jamendo where you can find this excellent song, which we now will hear a bit of. Alright, guys, now we wrap this up. Good night, fellows.
Good night.
Bye. Okay, this will be a nightmare to edit.